Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I presume amen. That others might be having network challenges today. But anyway, we just thank God for those that are here now. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we just want to commence with our Bible study, and others can join in when they can. I just want us to start with, since there are only a few of us now, if everyone can just give a recap of what we did last week. So I'm not going to say brief because it's not a lot of people, so feel free to say, you know, a recap is from last week, what your takeaway was. And I'm going to just follow the order of names here. I'm going to start with Brother Barnabas. Amen.
Amen. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, hello? We can hear you, Brother okay. Barnabas.
So last week we were talking about the expressions of the Holy Spirit. We were focusing mainly on the aspect that the Holy Spirit can feel, and one of the feelings we touched on was grief. So the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We also mentioned that the Holy Spirit can exhibit joy, which is you know, or one of the other feelings in existence. We also emphasize that the Holy Spirit is not human, so we cannot just say that the Holy Spirit feels everything humans can feel, because the Holy Spirit is a spirit, and there are only certain types of, you know, expressions of feelings that he can exhibit to us. We also, I think, touched on what blasphemy is, and yeah, just the general definition of it, that you know, it is outrightly, you know, would I say dismissing or refusing, or yeah, just, you know, going against what God says. Yeah, I'll just leave it to others to contribute, but that's in a nutshell what we covered last week. I think we also talked about vows, if I'm not mistaken. So like when one makes a pledge to the church and they are unable to fulfill it, then I think we mentioned that that is wrong, and rather you would have sinned, because when you actually say you're pledging maybe let's say $100 to the church, it means that effectively from that moment that $100 is no longer yours. It's not yours to possess, but it's the Lord's. So we talked about how we should fulfill the vows that we make to God. I think we referenced a scripture in Ecclesiastes, and we emphasized on how we should honor the promises that we would have made to God, because that can also be an avenue by which we grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I feel like I'm taking up too many points.
Brother Barnabas, are you reading from your notes? Because it seems you're reciting everything.
The last part I remembered from the chat here, but the others, yeah, it was just recollection.
Okay, thank you, Brother Barnabas. Mr. Quidini, your recap from last week. Followed by Mrs. Quidini. If Mr. Quidini is not available to speak now, Mrs. Quidini, you can unmute. Okay, while we wait for them, I am just going to give, okay, Mrs. Quidini said she will type. I will just give my own recap. I actually enjoyed one of the things that Brother...
Before you go.
Hello?
Sorry? Yes?
My apologies. I'm on the road. It's very, very noisy. But I'll try to be quick.
Okay,
I remember we discussed Ananias and Sapphira. The consequences of grieving the Holy Spirit. And one of the quick questions that I posed to the floor was that why is it Ananias and Sapphira were never forgiven? And we managed to establish that they perished by Peter's
Peter. Was, yes.
Because they made a vow before God, and they literally owed God. But it's not the Holy Spirit that killed them, but it's actually Peter's declaration. Hence, they perish, because the Holy Spirit is unlimited. As long as you have the faith, you can do all things. Though maybe some of the things will not be rightfully be in the manner that they should be done, because Peter still had the concept of the Old Testament, that if you break the law, you die. So that's one of the key takeaways that I remember from last week.
Thank you, Mr. Quidini. You know, you just touched on something that I wanted to speak about myself. I actually wanted to give a recap exactly like what Mr. Quidini has just said. Because for me, it was interesting how Mr. Quidini asked about how Ananias and Sapphira ended up dying. And it was actually quite insightful for me to understand the inner workings of the early church and how some things that happened there were because of course, in the shift, you know, that happened from the New Testament belief to the Old Testament, to the New Testament belief, you know, there were some glitches that happened, because even the apostles themselves, you know, did not have a complete or a thorough understanding of what the new, should I call it, dispensation meant, if I can put it in that way. So that's one of the things that really, you know, got to me last week in understanding what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, because I hadn't actually thought it in that sense. I had actually taken it without really analyzing, you know, the full extent of the word and the happenings at that time. Also, you know, the clarification that was given by Apostle Privilege with regards to the emotions of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can feel, and the distinction between human feelings and the Holy Spirit, as Brother Barnabas said, that also was interesting to me. I don't know if there is anyone who wants to give a recap. I'm just checking the chat now, and I can see Mrs. Quidini is still typing. So I'll just leave room for one other person while Mr. Quidini finishes typing, and then we can proceed to today's part of the study. So if you are there, you want to give a recap, you can unmute yourself and proceed.
Amen.
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 All right. Amen.
My recap is on the part where we're looking at, we were asked to state the emotions and feelings that we would most likely give to say that the Holy Spirit feels this way. So the earlier discussion we had last week was that, and that we were moving under the impression that whatever feeling we as human beings would have, the Holy Spirit as well would exhibit those same particular feelings. So the question that was asked by Apostle Privilege actually really made me to start to think deeper, where he asked the question that, so does the Holy Spirit also experience sexual feelings? And then, so that for me was like my highlight for the soul group, because then it made me then to go back and to rethink and to realize that, as you, Mrs. Nyani and Brother Barnabas say, that there are some feelings that we as human beings do feel, but which will not necessarily be attributed to the Holy Spirit per se. So that's my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth, and I would like to acknowledge you as our pastor in our midst, also to acknowledge Apostle, who hasn't yet joined our father in the house. So I acknowledge you, Pastor Ruth. I acknowledge Apostle. Thank you very much.
Today I'm connected. I'm with Mr. Quidini.
Oh, okay, Apostle. Thank you for notifying me. Thank you, Apostle. Okay, I'll just check. Okay, Mrs. Quidini has said, I remember we learned about the feelings of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has feelings and emotions, and we learned that there are some feelings not related to the Holy Spirit, like sexual feelings. So I think that was a highlight for many people last week. So we thank Apostle Privilege for clarifying that for us, because it seems it's something that, you know, really surprised a lot of people, and that got a lot of people thinking, you know, about the distinction between the feelings of the Holy Spirit and us human beings. Okay, so moving on to today's part of the Bible study, if Brother Barnabas can just put it up for us. So we are on page 19. We are starting with the third point here, which says the Holy Spirit can comfort. Are we following?
Amen. Yes.
So, to start to do is to maybe have a we understand by the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. that word comfort there, what does it imply? What if we look at it like from a very broad spectrum, what does it imply to say the Holy Spirit is our comforter? What is it that the Holy Spirit, you know, really does when he comforts us? And that's open to the flow. Maybe if we can start with Mrs. Shaita. What does it mean to you to say the Holy Spirit is a comforter? Yes, I can see a hand up, Mr. Pidini. Then we can go to Mrs. Shaita.
Thank you. The way I see same manner that it gives us home when we are
struggling to hear.
Mr. Pidini, we cannot hear you. Would it be possible for you to type?
Hello?
We cannot hear you. Is it possible for you to type?
Amen.
Amen.
As Mr. Kidini comes back, for me, I'll just give an example of what I'll think that to be comforting means. It's, let's say, take for example, a boy and a girl who are in a relationship and they have fellowship and communication, and something bad happens to one of the parties. What we see, maybe either the male or the female trying to console the one that is in distress, or that is crying, or that is sad, that is not feeling well, trying to offer them comfort, standing there for them, being there, being the shoulder that one will lean on to help them through difficult, diverse situations that are distressful, that are bringing them sadness, and they don't have joy. For me, that's an explanation or the example that I can give of one that has the role of comforting. So from the point of view where they are there to strengthen the one that is feeling weak within a particular regard, in a particular time, because of different circumstances that that person would be facing. So that's my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth. Mrs. Shaita.
Hello, Miss Chinyani, good evening, everyone. I think what I wanted to contribute is similar to Pastor Ruth's contribution. When someone is comforting, I think it's when you are when you are stressed or when you are in grief, then someone is there to just console you and encourage you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Shaita. Mr. Pidini, you said you will contribute after Mrs. Shaita. Are you able to contribute now?
Yes, I can. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you, but it seems you are having a network challenge.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, Mr. Pidini.
Okay, I was saying the same manner that the
it seems we are having a challenge with Mr. Pidini. Mr. Pidini, if you can hear me, please type in the chat.
Okay, I'm just about 2 minutes away. I'll come back again.
Okay. Okay, no problem. Okay, so what we've just heard is from Pastor Ruth and Mrs. Raita is quite similar, and they've indicated that, you know, one of the manners in which we are, or one of the situations in which we are provided with comfort is when people are experiencing situations, or and then they are maybe experiencing negative emotions, so the Holy Spirit can provide support in times of distress. The Holy Spirit can console someone when they are at a point of need, and that's actually powerful. Brother Barnabas, I can see your hand up.
Amen. I just want to bring out the fact that when it comes to comfort, you normally, when you're receiving comfort, you receive it from one whom you are close to, not just anyone you get on the street, or, you know, just anyone you bump into. It's someone whom you have constant, you know, contact with, and, you know, just that contact so that you can get comfort. So I think the Holy Spirit being here expresses someone who can comfort. It also shows to us what kind of a relationship we can have with him. And I think also in another way, it shows where we should get our comfort from. Because it is possible for us to get comfort from the wrong people, because through that process of comforting, sometimes you then get to a resolve through that comforting. And that resolve, if it's not from the Holy Spirit, or if it's not godly, it can actually damage you instead of actually leading you in the right way. So I think that's also something that we can bring about, that, you know, the Holy Spirit should be our source of comfort. We should have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, our resolve should be within, you know, that area where the Holy Spirit is with us. Thank you.
A powerful point, Brother Barnabas. I think you've brought something that, you know, I wanted to ask later on, but I think it's quite powerful, because, you know, it really does, just as you have said, reflect on the type of relationship that we should have with the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, the fact that a person is comforted by the Holy Spirit, it shows, you know, the closeness that is there and the closeness that is required to receive that kind of, you know, comfort from the Holy Spirit. Mrs. Quidini just said, I think it means he can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger, and can calm our fears and fill us with hope, thus being our comforter. I really like this point. Pastor Ruth, I can see your question. I will come to it just now. I think the point that is being raised by Mrs. Quidini is very important. So I'll just read it again. She says, I think it means he can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger and calm our fears and fill us with hope, thus being our comforter. So here Pastor Ruth is saying, and this is a question following from Brother Pana's contribution, is it possible for the Holy Spirit to send a human being to comfort you on his behalf? So we have a question here from Pastor Ruth, which says, is it possible for the Holy Spirit to send a human being to comfort you on his behalf? This is a question that is open to the floor. Before we answer that question, I can see Mr. Quidini says he's available, so we'll just allow him to give his contribution. You can proceed, Mr. Quidini.
Okay.
Right, thank you, Sinani. I've got two contributions. The first one is for the question that you asked, Holy Spirit being the comforter. I gave an example of a blanket, the comforter, the blanket, that when we are cold, we need that blanket, or whenever cold, we need that comforter. It gives us warmth. It's got a covering. So I see comforter as the covering of God. That even certain things that you don't need comfort, or you're going somewhere, you don't need to even know what's going to happen ahead of you. You see, because it's that covering that is over you. You just feel something that, no, I shouldn't be here, or I shouldn't go with this taxi, or I shouldn't be in this bus, or I shouldn't be on this plane. I should cancel next week. So it's the covering. You see, comforter, it's something that goes over you. It covers you in ways that you won't even imagine. So it's not only the comforter where you get someone that comes and puts your hand on your shoulder and say it's going to be fine. It's the comforter that goes beyond that. Then on the part that Brother Barnabas is posed to the floor, which about the Holy Spirit, can the Holy Spirit send an individual to come and comfort somebody? I'd like to say yes. I'll give you an example in Genesis. When God came with two angels at Abraham's house, the mission was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was Lot's cousin there. Abraham's cousin there, Lot. And God said to Abraham, say to the other angels, can we destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without Abraham knowing? Of course, it's God that came in person, but you can give that example as the Holy Spirit, that was a visitation. So there was a visitation to Abraham, which enabled the deliverance, I may use that word, of Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah. Otherwise, they would have been destroyed together with the people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. But by virtue of the faith and the friendship that Abraham had with God, whom were given the same authority and same position as the Holy Spirit in this case, came to Abraham and informed him of what was going to happen without even Abraham knowing. Then that connection between Abraham and Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, otherwise would have perished with his family. So we can see an example there where God uses an individual. Another example is the story of the woman of Zarephath. She was at the point of giving up, and she wanted to bake bread and the child to eat and die. That was the plan. But we see that the Holy Spirit speaking, or God speaking to the prophet and say, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow to feed you. But notice something. When the prophet Elijah got there, God is not, he probably had spoken to the widow, but the widow did not know about this. You understand? So God said, I have spoken. So maybe God softened this widow's heart through Elijah's word, because we don't hear in the Bible that God actually appeared to the widow and told the widow that cook for Elijah. But it's Elijah's word that cook for me, then when you cook for me, your flour shall not run dry. Your oil, your jar shall not run dry. So we see an individual there going and, Sean, can you keep quiet? Going there and delivering a widow and his and a son who were at the point of giving up. So those are the two examples that I'll give. There's plenty more, but I'll leave the rest for the others.
Thank you, Mr. Kwidini. Before I allow others to speak on Pastor Ruth's question, I just want to, before I forget, comment on your first response to the first question on what comforter means. So what I like about what Mr. Kwidini said is in line with what I like about what also Mrs. Kwidini highlighted. And that's the point that, you know, the comfort of the Holy Spirit doesn't only come in situations where there's something negative that's happening, or where people are experiencing negative feelings and emotions. So I would like to believe, just like what Mr. Kwidini has just highlighted, that, you know, the fact that the Holy Spirit is our comforter means he also provides hope, you know, to us, and inspiration in for us to do different things, and you know, things like restoration and giving us peace, giving us strength. And it's not just contingent on there being a negative situation or something bad that has happened, or the experience of negative emotions. But like what Mr. Kwidini has said, you know, allowing us to live a life that is fulfilling and one that is guided and covered by the Holy Spirit. And then we can go back to Mr. To Pastor Ruth's question, and we can see Mr. Kwidini just highlighted that, you know, and gave examples that in support of the fact that, yes, the Holy Spirit can send someone to comfort you. And he gave examples from the Old Testament, from the story of Abraham, where he received a visitation just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the story of the widow who fed Elijah. So I'm just going to open the floor to everyone else. Any other contributions on that point? The question again is, can the Holy Spirit send someone to provide comfort, you know, on his behalf? Miss Samantha Ntovu, I can see you have joined. What is your take on this one?
Oh, hello everyone.
Hello.
It's nice to be back on the discussion. I think that the Holy Spirit can send a person to come and call and comfort you. But I don't think, I think that most of the time when the Holy Spirit sends people to come and comfort us, it's not necessarily a, like a person-to-person visitation, but it could be maybe there's something that is bothering you, something or something that is, it may be a situation where you've got questions and you need answers, and then you can be in a church sermon and the teacher can be preaching to us, and then you sort of get the answers that you need for a particular situation that you are facing. So the Holy Spirit, in that regard, I'd say that the Holy Spirit leads you to a place where you can get comfort. That is what I understand. I just logged in, so I'm not properly, I haven't yet properly acclimated myself to our discussion right now, but this is Amen. What I can contribute. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Ms. Timakasi?
Hello.
Hello.
It's Mrs. Makasi. I'm not sure about the question. I just joined also. Can you please
Okay, the
yes.
Okay, I'll repeat the question for you, Mrs. Makasi, and thank you for clarifying that it's you. The question is that, is it possible for the Holy Spirit to send a human being to comfort you on his behalf?
Okay, so what I think it's very possible, because sometimes, like what Sister Samantha said, that sometimes when you're in church, the pastor can preach a word which exactly relates or answers to whatever situation that you're going through. And also sometimes I've seen it even on WhatsApp or maybe on a call, that maybe someone can just randomly call you, and then from that call maybe they can even start telling you some words which are encouraging, but they are not even sure what you're going through, but they just randomly call, or they just remembers you and sends you words of encouragement, which goes end in end to whatever situation that you're going through. So I think the Holy Spirit can send someone to comfort us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Makasi. Thank you for your contribution. What we've established from the responses that we got from Mr. Kwidini, Miss Samantha Ndlovu, and Mrs. Makasi is a general agreement that yes, the Holy Spirit can send someone on his behalf to give comfort. I don't know if there is anyone who still has a contribution to make on this point. If you are there, you can unmute and proceed before we move on. Or if Pastor Ruth, maybe you have a follow-up or anything else you want to say regarding the question that you posed. Okay, there is no follow-up from Pastor Ruth, and it appears no one else wants to make a contribution on this point. So what I want us to do, still, you know, reflecting on or not exactly reflecting, but still on the point that was raised by Pastor Ruth on the Holy Spirit sending someone to comfort. So we have, you know, had responses that yes, it's very possible. I just want to hear from your experiences. We have had also examples from the Bible. I want to hear from your personal experiences, you know, where you can say, here, God, you know, the Holy Spirit sent someone to provide me with comfort. Maybe I can just start while others, you know, are still thinking. There was a point where I had a challenge. And when I had this challenge, I didn't know who to turn to. I was at a point of loss because I needed a problem. I had a problem with someone else. And I didn't know who to turn to because I felt, you know, this problem was way beyond me. But then I spoke to someone and we were speaking about an unrelated issue. And this person was giving me further, you know, bad news when I was doing my internship and saying, you know, I don't think I can still be able to do this for you. But if you maybe you can find someone to help you and assist you. And I said, oh, no. Further bad news. But then this person just asked me and said, okay, what is happening with you, you know, in terms of work and what you're doing? And then I explained to this person, you know, I just thought I'm speaking. And I just thought that's where it was going to end. And I explained to this person that, you know, this is what has happened, 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is why it has affected, you know, the outcome of my internship. And this lady in that moment, she took it upon herself to help me. And she really went the whole nine. Not only did she take it upon herself, because I didn't know who to turn to, and I thought no one, I never conceived that anyone would be able to help me, but she took it upon herself and she actually raised the matter with a lot of people that actually came to my defense. So if I think about it, you know, as we are having this discussion, I can see that it's really the Holy Spirit that came through for me because I didn't know who I could turn to help me. But in that moment, you know, the Holy Spirit just inspired someone to stand on my behalf. And I ended up having a positive outcome where so many people stood up on my behalf and ended up, you know, fighting for me and doing, you know, what I wanted for me. And what really confirms for me that it was the Holy Spirit that actually inspired these people to help me is that the moment the issue was finished, these people never spoke to me again. And when I even sent them emails to say, you know, this was the outcome of the intervention that you made, and, you know, I'm very, they never even responded to me as though they were never involved. You know, they just came in when they needed to, and they never bothered to follow up, and they just did what they did and helped me, and that was it. So I can say for me, that is an example where I can say the Holy Spirit just used other people to help me, to provide me with comfort. Amen.
Powerful.
So, you know, we just want to look at, you know, such examples as that. But Brother Bana, you're the first to answer the. Okay, before we go to Brother Bana, Miss Mansa, Miss, I can see a hand from. So we'll start with Miss Mansa, and then we'll go to Mr. Kwedini.
Sorry, my question is from Bana before.
After that.
I don't
know. Okay.
All right.
I thought about.
You can call Mr. Pilini.
Sorry, my question is from before, so I'm just thinking we might digress before I chip in with the question that I had. Sorry, Mrs. Hinyani.
Okay.
When you said contributions,
okay.
My hand, but I think you didn't see. I have an interesting scripture there. Since we're discussing about the Holy Spirit, I just wanted just to look at that scripture there, Hebrews 13:2. If you can quickly put it, Brother Barnabas. I just wanted to find out what's our take on visitation by angels, visitation by angels, since we're discussing the subject of the covering of the Holy Spirit or the comfort of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit telling us things or informing us of certain things. There's a scripture which I've put in the chat. I just want us to maybe see what we think of that scripture while we're on this. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Yes, KJV. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So while we are on the subject of the Holy Spirit, maybe let me pose another follow-up question. Do we need angels visitation while we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us? Maybe let me just put it that way.
Can you repeat that, how you rephrased it? Or type it in the chat?
Okay. Do we need this visitation of angels, whereas or whilst we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us already? I'll type it quickly in the chat.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas. He's typed it.
Thank you, Brother Bana. Thank you, Mr. Kwedini. Okay, before we proceed with the experiences, Miss Samantha, I'll put you on hold, and Brother Bana. So can we just give attention to Mr. Kwedini's question here? And we can see the scripture that he read from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So it's open to the floor. You can raise your hand or unmute and proceed.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Bana.
I can just say, from my point of view, is that the Holy Spirit, or maybe I can say God, speaks to us in different ways. So you can speak to us in a still small voice, in our head, in our heart, or in our mind. I don't know how I can put that across. Also, we notice that, you know, God also speaks to us through the word that is preached in church. So my response to that to that question would be, can you also not speak to us through those angelic visitations? So in my point of view is that need might not be the word that I would put there, but then, yes, it would be possible for us to receive angelic visitations in as much as we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Not that we should just depend on one method of God speaking to us, but yes, it's possible that, you know, we get a word from God through angelic visitations as well. That's just my point of view. That God is not limited to one avenue of talking to us, or of doing something for us, or on our behalf. So I would say, yes, we would get angelic visitation, but the word need there, I wouldn't use that per se.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas. Any other takers? Amen. Yes, Pastor.
If I'm to get correctly, sorry, my phone is a bit tricky. If I would get correctly, the question Mr. Quirino was asking is, since we now have the Holy Spirit, then is there need for us to have visitation from angels, right, to the facilitator?
Yes.
I'm not able to access my chat. All yes. Right. So I think my contribution also links in the same line as we see what Brother Barnabas had just said. And can someone quickly read for me, if I'm not mistaken, Acts chapter 8, from between verse 26, somewhere where it's to 38, where we see an angel appearing to Philip and commanding him to travel to Gaza. Because I want that verse to be our basis, where we are seeing that at this particular time in Acts 8, it's a period whereby we see that the disciples that were gathered already in Acts chapter 2, they'd already received the Holy Spirit. But now we see Philip, who was also chosen. And when we read in the word, the description that is mentioned about him, it says that he was one that was chosen and was filled with the Holy Spirit, him together with Stephen and then Stephen, the one that was stoned. So there were people that then had the Holy Spirit living inside of them. But then if then Philip could, even him having the encounter of having been filled with the Holy Spirit, could have an angelic appearance that would then tell him and command him to go a particular direction, then that would mean, that means definitely we still can have angelic visitations despite us being filled by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Has anyone gotten that particular scripture? Sorry, my phone is misbehaving.
Yes, I can read it for you.
Yes, please.
Okay, so from verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, you can tell me when you want me to stop. It says,
you can, okay,
now an angel...
Look at the part where Philip is told to travel.
Okay, it says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went.
Thank you so much. So there we see that even though Philip, when we read through the prior verses, had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, he still had an angelic encounter. So that is a possibility. That actually will happen, that we can have angelic encounters despite us also having the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And if we read further in the further book of Acts, around chapter 27, I think as we go along, if my phone starts to work, I'll try and search for the verse and post it. We also see that even Paul, when he was arrested and he was sailing as a prisoner to Rome, the word of God specifically tells us that an angel appeared to him. And we know that Paul had also had that encounter and he had received the Holy Spirit as well. So So those instances for me are examples in the Bible that show us that even with the Holy Spirit, we are still open to us having angelic visitation. So having the Holy Spirit does not necessarily remove us or remove the need or the need, as Brother Barnabas said, as I'm not sure what word we can use, but we still are in that place where we can receive an angelic visitation. So I think I'll just give those particular examples to just show that we can have angelic visitation despite us having the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And I think actually having the Holy Spirit on the inside of us can be one of the factors that will allow for us to actually have these encounters, because we see that these particular people had the Holy Spirit. So it's very rare for one who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in and just an ordinary being in the road who doesn't know anything with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to actually do have that angelic encounter. Amen.
Amen. Powerful.
Amen. Powerful stuff, Pastor Ruth. There is a scripture here that has been posted by Brother Barnabas. I think it's in response to what Pastor Ruth was saying. It's Acts chapter 27, verse 23, which says, "For this very night there stood before me an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I worship." I don't know if that is the scripture that you were looking for, Pastor Ruth.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you, Barna.
Sure.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas. Powerful stuff. Do we have any other contribution in response to Mr. Quidini's question there? So I think what we have established from what I'll start with what Brother Barnabas said. He spoke about, you know, God speaking to us in different ways or getting through to us in different ways. And personally, I would love to agree with that. You know, I just want to give an example of where, you know, the Holy Spirit provided me with comfort or spoke to me in a way that I found to be very, very unique. So this was in 2019. And when I was at work, and then I received I had an issue that had troubled me for a very, very long time. And then I received, you know, I received a call while I was at work at DUT. And that just made everything worse for me, to the point where I just took my bag, and people asked me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home. And I don't care who's going to look for me. Tell them I'm not here." And that was early in the morning, soon after arriving at work. When the moment I stood up, I was so angry and so hurt and so heartbroken that, by what had happened, that I started to hear this song play in my head, as though I was, you know, when you're wearing your earphones or your headphones and you're playing music from your phone or whatever device, and you hear the song so loud and it plays and it's so clear. That's exactly how I heard that song play. And it was just that one part of the song by Hillsong where he says, lay your burden down on me. And that song, from the moment that I stood up from my chair to the moment that I got home, that song was playing over and over in my head, as though I was wearing earphones and listening to music on my phone. And throughout that day and the following day, and then the following day in the evening, I was still in that same state. It was though I felt as though another song, you know, started to play, as though I'd changed the music on my phone, and it started playing this song that says, "He took it to the cross," just that part, "He took it to the cross, he took it to the cross." And the moment that I resolved in myself to say, you know, I'm letting go of this issue, that just as I was, you know, feeling to do it, that I was being told to do it, and in that moment, I just started to feel peace and happiness and joy and calmness. So I do agree with Brother Barnabas that, you know, the Holy Spirit and God just reaches us to us in different ways. So I agree with what he said and with what Pastor Ruth said, that then there is nothing that can stop us from receiving angelic visitations, which is one of the ways in which God can communicate with us and provide us with, you know, comfort and direction. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so going back to our experiences, I'm just going to hand over again to... There's a hand. Okay, I'm coming back to check. Okay, Miss Tikwidini, sorry. I was on the chat. You can proceed, Mr. Kwidini.
Thank you, Che. I keep taking it. Thank you, Pastor Ruth, again for your powerful stuff. I also remembered Acts chapter 16, where we see when Peter was imprisoned. Sorry, Acts chapter 12, I mean. When Peter was imprisoned, again, an angel of the Lord appeared before him. Also, I thought of ending that issue there, but there's a strong urge in my spirit to speak about this. We see some of the body of, within the body of Christ, I would say maybe spiritual babies, have fallen to the side, thinking white-garmented churches where they believe in angels, they liken it to the angels of God. So I just have to say this, that white-garmented churches, what they believe in there is a different gospel. It's not the gospel of Christ. So when you see someone with a white garment coming to you and say, I've seen this, tell you your past, tell you your present and stuff like that, and saying an angel of the Lord came to me while I was sitting there, I just want to tell you this and that. Because I can see, and I even have relatives that tell you different things, either about your life or they tell you about their life, saying, then the angel of the Lord appeared while we were doing this and that. Do not entertain such people, because these are not angels of God. You see, the body of Christ, I'll term them spiritual babies, have become so reliant on these people to such an extent that they themselves have forgot that they've got the Holy Spirit, and they don't need these things of the world to help them in one thing or the other. So I just feel that I need to say this before we move to the experience that I hope I'm talking to someone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kwidini. We appreciate your coming in and commenting further on the issue. Brother Barnabas, I can see you're doing a good job on keeping an eye on the hands for me. Please continue. Okay. I'll just check. Okay, so the scripture that Mr. Kwidini just posted was referring to is Acts chapter 12, verse 5, where Peter was imprisoned and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Okay, so moving back to our experiences, I'm just going to open it up. So not just experiences where, you know, the Holy Spirit used other people to provide us with comfort, but also, you know, the many unique ways that the Holy Spirit has used to provide us with comfort. So be it a situation where maybe it wasn't another human being, like what I've just said, where I just heard these songs just continually, you know, going on and on in my head. So those are the experiences that I'm looking for. Miss Samantha, you previously had your hand up. You can proceed while others prepare.
Yes,
Thank you. I had a very, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I think this was 93 years ago, because it was a very profound encounter. I went through a series of robberies. And, I remember one day I was on my way to church and I was attacked at gunpoint. I was robbed at gunpoint. And, the following week, just a few weeks later, I was attacked again by three guys. They wanted to actually bungle me up and put me in a car, but I just threw down my bag and I ran away. And there were some people behind me, so they just took my bag and they left me alone. And I went back home, and I remember when I got back home, I was so sad and I was full of a lot of questions. And I asked God, and I prayed and I asked God why this is happening to me. And after I prayed, I had a fabric that my mom had given me on my last visit to Zim. And I said, okay, they can have everything else that was in the bag, but I want my fabric back because it's got so much sentimental value to me. And that night, there was a lady that visited me, and she picked up my bag a few streets from where I was robbed. And inside my bag, there was my purse, and it had my library card. And it had my library card, obviously, had my name and my surname on it. And there was a paper with a list of phone numbers, because I was hunting at the time. I wanted to move to another area. And one of the numbers that they phoned was the number of my employer at the time. And they phoned her and they told her that we picked up a bag with such and such a name inside. Do you happen to know the person? And my employer gave them my address, and then they came to give me back my bag. But I asked them where they stayed. I remember I asked them where they stayed because I really wanted to thank them. And then they gave me an address that was just down the street from where I stayed. And a few weeks later, I went and I looked for that address. I couldn't find it. I looked and looked and looked and I couldn't find it. And and then after some time, I went to church, and then I was given a prophecy about all the experiences that I experienced. And then the pastor told me that you prayed and you asked God for something, and God sent an angel to deliver what you asked from you. That was a very powerful experience that I had in the past with the Holy Spirit comforting me. And I could say that it also relates to the question of Mr. Quidini, who just asked us if it is possible to have angels physically come and confront you. And I can attest to that. Yes, I've had an angel come and comfort me in a time of need. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Samantha. A powerful testimony indeed, if I may say so. Mrs. Jaita, we haven't heard from you in a while. Can we hear some of your experiences or experience followed up by Mrs. Makasi?
Hallelujah. My experience was a long time ago. I remember I was sick, that I just told my parents that I think I won't spend the night with you guys. I'll be dead, because I had lost hope on life because I was so sick. So that night, before we slept, like the normal family prayers we normally had, then we prayed, then we went to sleep. So during the night, I just dreamt of someone who was praying for me. Someone just praying for me. So I think that was my experience where I got restoration of hope Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Jaita. Another powerful testimony. Mrs. Makasi, you can proceed if you are there.
Amen. For me.
Amen.
For me, I'm just going to share, I think last year when I was pregnant, so to the place that I went to the gyna that I used in Westfield, I met this other lady. So she's from Zimbabwe. So I had months where I was going there and we always met, and then I didn't know she was Zimbabwean. And then this one time, she greeted me in Shona, and then I just greeted her normally and we continued. So I think for me, I personally think she was just heavenly sent at that place, at that moment that I was there. Because months after, because my pregnancy had complications, so I kept going to the gyna, and then she would help me, like she was really helping me. And even when I gave birth, the medical aid had some shortfalls and everything, but she kept like assisting me, and she kept telling me what to do until the medical aid paid everything that was owing. And then I think just a few months after I gave birth, I heard that she moved to another place. So I just think she was divinely sent at that place at that moment to assist me, because she really assisted me with my process. And even one time I was even telling Pastor Gilbert and Maimune when we were having a service at their house that I was telling them the testimony, because for me it's a testimony. If maybe she was not there at that time, maybe I could have paid a lot of money, or I could have been owing and swimming in debt, but I really saw the hand of God through that lady. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Makasi. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes, Mr. Pitting. Okay, it was just a comment. Amen. Okay, we have a question from Brother Barnabas. I can see our time is moving, so I just want us to go to Brother Barnabas. Brother Barnabas' question in the chat. His question is: can the Holy Spirit influence non-believers to help believers? Can the Holy Spirit influence non-believers to help believers? The question is open to the floor. Any takers? Mr. Kwidini, I saw you gave an opinion there. Yes. Maybe you would like to elaborate.
Amen.
Actually, I'm second.
Apostle.
Okay, I'll come after.
Okay. Apostle, you can start, and then Pastor Ruth, and then Mr. Quitting.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, okay. Apostle.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say, big time, you know, the Holy Spirit is the boss of creation. Church are those believers, unbelievers, are those who haven't yet chosen, but we all belong to Him. The Bible says all things were made by Him and for Him, and we are all working to fulfill things that He has put in place according to the counsel of His own will. So anything that is there, whether it's trees, stones, people, God uses as resources. You are. So absolutely, you use unbelievers to help believers, because the believers do not carry their own mandate. Believers carry God's mandate. They're doing God's business, God's job, and God's business and God's job will be done by anybody. Oh, and if you would remember, we have Isaiah 45, which talks about Cyrus as king. Is that Isaiah 45, I'm sure? Now, that Cyrus, whom he calls my anointed servant, was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. He did know God. But God used him to deliver the Jews out of captivity. Yet himself was not a Jew. So, yeah, God uses. That's why Hebrews 13:2 says, being not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. So, of course, expect angels everywhere, even including amongst unbelievers. And as I conclude, you may be surprised that unbelievers can do a lot more for God than believers sometimes, unawares.
Amen.
Because sometimes you believers, you're very stubborn. Bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Apostle Privilege. Pastor Ruth, powerful indeed. Pastor Ruth, you can proceed.
Amen.
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 Okay. All right. Apostle Privilege has touched part of what I wanted to say, but maybe I can just give another example from the Bible where we see people that were unbelievers actually maybe working under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I would like to believe. When we look at the life of Rahab and the way that she took it upon herself to hide even the spies that had come in to her land to spy and to go back with their report. I believe that was the working of the Holy Spirit that made her to be used so that she could preserve the spies so that they could take back the report to Moses and the children of Israel regarding the land that the Lord had given them. Because a person in their normal senses who is not being used and moving under the influence of the Holy Spirit would really behave in a way where you take people who you know, these people are competition, they are here to kill me, and then you hide them and you lie to your own people who you know will be destroyed. So I believe that is also an example we can take to see the Holy Spirit using people that were not believers therein to push the agenda of the promise that God had given to the children of Israel. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth.
Amen.
Mr. Quidini.
Thank you, Mrs. Shinyani. I was going to say I wanted to retract my answer because I misread Brother Barnabas's question. When I read it the first time, I thought he was talking about the Holy Spirit coming over non-believers. That's why I said no. But after reading it for the second time, I wanted to type, but then there were other contributors. Influence. Yes, I agree. Totally agree with what all the speakers have said, especially the scripture concerning Cyrus the Great. We see that the Israel was under captivity, and it was that their time to be delivered. And God raised Cyrus. We hear of that story in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 to invade Babylon. And the king that was I think it was Nebuchadnezzar's nephew or son, but the Bible says his son was defeated, that night that he took the vessels, we know all the story. So at that point in time, for the deliverance of the Israelite, Cyrus was an unbeliever. So yes, that is very, very much possible. And it is very true, like what Apostle Privilege said, we tend to meet a lot of friends that are non-believers who have good hearts or good hearts than even most Christians. And also to give maybe a reference, I'm not sure if it would be too far-fetched, but Luke 19, verse 40, Jesus talks of, maybe let's quickly open it. Luke 19, verse 40, Brother Barnabas. Luke 19, 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Then another version says, listen to me, if my followers were silenced, the very stones would break forth with praises. So to me there, Jesus, the way Jesus put it, I believe he meant that if those that have got the Spirit of God fail to do what they ought to do in terms of influencing certain people, certain individuals, then stones will be raised to do that part. The stones that I see there, they can be physical stones, which we see on the road, or somebody that is an unbeliever. Remember, we had the Bible in the book of Isaiah and the other prophets that I'll turn their hearts of stone and stuff like that, meaning those that are in the world. So I also see it as those that are in the world to be raised by God to influence the body of Christ. If the body of Christ or those that should be influencing the body of Christ fail to do so, that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Mr. Kwidini. Just looking at our chat there, we see Sister Samantha just saying King Nebuchadnezzar. And she also said Pharaoh's daughter who adopted Moses. I'm not sure, Sister Samantha, if you would like to elaborate, especially where you just mentioned King Nebuchadnezzar. So it's up to you if you want to elaborate or not. Okay, so at this moment, I just want to, because what we did is we only just read the title of the section that we are focusing on now. So I just want to take us back to our manual there to page 19 so we can read the two scriptures that are there before we close. So we have Acts chapter 9 verse 31. And this is from the New American Standard Bible. And it says, so the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, building up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. I think it sort of highlights some of the things that we spoke about regarding what, you know, comfort means, you know, peace being built up, all of those things. And then we also have John chapter 14, verse 16, and this is from the King James Version. And it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And the final comment there says, only a person can be able to comfort another person, which is in line with what we have been saying all this while, that the Holy Spirit is not in it. Amen. So right now I just want to leave time to people who may have maybe final contributions, final comments on the topic that we were focusing on today. Amen. You can raise your hand or you can simply unmute and speak.
Amen.
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 I just wanted to contribute on King Nebuchadnezzar. That story there in the book of Daniel chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar was a staunch non-believer. This guy was a master of worshiping idols. And there were three men, Daniel and Abednego and his other friend, were Babylon. Shadrach and Meshach. At that time, Israel was in captivity in Babylon. And these men were on a death sentence. And we see when Daniel was able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, because he had that covering that we've been speaking about. Daniel and his friend, they had the wisdom of God, meaning they had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would cover them and would minister to them, because we hear that they went to sleep at night. And there was a covering of the Holy Spirit. Then God revealed the mysteries pertaining to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and even more. So when that happened, the next day he went and interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. When he so did, Nebuchadnezzar dropped the worship of idol, because his astrologers and his magicians failed to interpret his dream. And he commanded throughout Babylon that no other god was to be worshipped but the God of Daniel. So we see God's power, or the Holy Spirit, influencing there someone who was into deep idol worshipping. And in the later we saw Nebuchadnezzar turn his heart to God after he went through a series of persecutions, if I may say. But at that time, before he was a believer, or before he turned his heart to God, he influenced the whole of Babylon. Imagine the quantum of idol worshipping which was in Babylon at that day and age. And anyone who was found worshipping any other god but those idols was put to death. But by virtue of these men having the Holy Spirit, who's Daniel and his two friends, their interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream influenced the whole of Babylon to begin to worship Daniel's God, who is the Almighty God. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kwidini. Yes, the floor is still open. Mr. Barnabas, I can see you unmuted yourself.
I want to say amen to Mr. Kwidini.
Amen. Okay. Any final contributions? If not, I can see Mr. Kwidini is typing. Okay, something else. Okay, so this brings us to the end of our cell group. Just to finish it off, I can see it's 28 past 8 now. For the next 2 minutes, we can just, you know, pray and thank God for the Bible study that we had. Amen. We can pray. Father, we thank you. You can unmute yourselves as we all pray.
Thank you for the message. Thank you for the word. That's the state that we are wrestling today, that is going so unsupported in our community, so that we can bring more service to you. Thank you, Father God, for the spirit that is amongst us today, ministering us, giving us edification, and giving us strength in those difficult times that we are.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Thank you all for coming.